This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I'm joined as ever by Alan Clark, who is a little bit over caffeinated, aren't you, Alan?
I am in your office enjoying your coffee pods a bit too much, but they're very tasty.
It's what powers our business, those coffee pods. So glad you're enjoying them. Anyway, what are we talking about today? I think we've got a good podcast today. This is going to be a good one. What are we talking about?
Breakthrough conversations.
Oof. That sounds like a meaty subject. So you have a lot of these, I suspect, with your customers, right?
I think so. And actually, in truth, I haven't ever really thought of them as a breakthrough conversation, but we were talking just before this podcast, and that's what they are. And you've experienced one recently as well today. And when they happen, they make a huge difference, a huge positive difference. But there probably is a way to maximise the probability of them occurring. Perfect. There's a set of circumstances that if you get that right around the conversation, I think really helps.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And sometimes you can have the same conversation a few times without getting the breakthrough.
Yeah.
And for some reasons that we'll probably get into on the podcast, there is a pivotal point where the conversation can go one way or another, and then you get to that breakthrough point where the resolution happens and you can move on and either fix the problem or seize the opportunity or whatever the conversation's about, right?
And absolutely. And quite often when you're in the middle of the conversation, fresh possibilities can open up that weren't there at the start of the conversation, and you can only ever get that if you're in the conversation.
Well, that's point one then. Don't duck a difficult conversation. Yeah. We've definitely talked about this before. Yeah. But yeah, if you carry on doing the same thing, then you're going to get the same results, right? Everyone knows that. So just because you think it's going to be difficult, you can't duck it. Secondly, I've always found difficult conversations are never as difficult in reality as your mind will have you believe going into them. Do you find that?
Yeah. We talked again in an earlier podcast. This is the second podcast in a row I've referred an earlier podcast, but it was one that resonated a lot of the business horror movie, creating a business horror story. And it's exactly in this space. We imagine that conversation is going to be painful a lot of the time. And in truth, once you're into it, in many ways, it can feel like enjoyable because you're actually progressing something that has been blocked for a while, or you've actually in that conversation identified a fresh possibility that wasn't there, and suddenly you're in a completely different space.
Yeah.
To the point that I know people, and I've done this myself, that for years you're carrying something and just a bit too scared to go there. And when you go there, it clears and it's like this rush of fresh life is coming through.
Oh, everyone's had that, haven't they? A conversation. You didn't realise it was playing on your mind until you've resolved it, 100%. So what's the first thing we need to talk about then? So we've got either an issue or an opportunity, I guess, typically, that we're either having a conversation repeatedly and not getting to the end result we want or any resolution at all, or we're ducking the conversation because we don't want to get it to spiral down a path we don't want to go down, right? So what's the first bit of advice we're giving over on this?
I think I'm going to use my favourite word, clarity. So it's so helpful in this place. So getting really clear on what your desired outcome would be as a result of this conversation, what is it you actually want to change? What is blocked? What is stuck? Or what opportunity do you think is there that you want to access and you can only access it through change? So the clearer you are helps enormously, because in that conversation, the clearer you are helps the other person or the other people get where A, you're coming from, and B, why that would be a desirable outcome. That's the first bit. And then if I'm allowed a 1B, is think through different contexts about why this new position is beneficial. If you go in with just one, fine, it might be the best argument in the world, it might be the killer knockdown, that sounds violent, it's not meant to be, but it might be so compelling an argument, that's all. But most of the time, going in with two or three or four, holistically, why it's better for the person, why it's better for the business, why it's better for you, why it's better for your customer, to have that thought through, I think that takes it to a 90-95% probability that you're going to get that breakthrough.
Yeah. Now, the danger there is that you overthink it. Yes. Have you ever done that? You ever planned out a conversation massively? This is all the comebacks I'm going to get given and all the issues they're going to create, and these are all the things I need to line up. And then you say, I need you to do this. And they say, yeah, that's fine. You ever had that?
I must admit, I don't tend to overthink. That can be my undoing. Don't tend to overthink, but I do tend to get too emotionally attached to the outcome that I'm going for, to the point that I scare myself and then I get into the conversation.
But no, I hear what you're saying. Understanding what a good result is and what the potential challenges and pitfalls of having that conversation are, I think, is important. I think understanding what good looks like means that if the conversation starts spiraling the other way, it's really easy for an innocuous conversation to spiral downwards and then end up out of hand, right? And you end up going in to talk about point A and then all these hidden grievances and issues and baggage come into it, and suddenly you're having a conversation about a completely different thing, fighting a completely different point, and a long way away from the resolution on the initial point that you brought up, right? So having a kind of a plan and keeping it on track to that plan is important. And I guess understanding if it is spiraling down, how to extricate yourself rather than get to the end of that spiral.
I think that's a huge point, and that's why so many people don't go there. But, you know, you could be having an hour conversation with somebody. You really see who you want to get to, and that person, for whatever reason in that conversation, won't come with you, then at that point, it is wise to extract yourself with that classic look, we'll agree to disagree, dust yourself down and come back to it. That's okay. Both parties are respectful of each other and you can live another day to fight again type thing. Don't get disheartened. I'm trying to use every cliche under the sun here, but some nuts are harder to crack than others. You know, it's all that. And it just keep on the clarity of why you want the change, why you want this breakthrough. And after that conversation, ask yourself, if one that's we agree to disagree for now, ask yourself, is it still valid? Or actually, maybe the other person's argument was more compelling than mine. And actually, what I thought was a screaming priority is actually not as much. Be open. There's a hell of a lot of energy required in this space.
Yeah. And I think understanding that just because the conversation ends in a different way. So if you're trying, I don't know, you're coming up with a new something or other for your business, and you're talking to your business partner and they fundamentally disagree with where you're going, it's okay to disagree on something without it jeopardizing anything else. If you disagree on fundamentally everything, then maybe it's a different conversation. But if you've been in business happily with someone for 5 years and then suddenly you want to go in this direction and they don't, that doesn't mean the end of the relationship. It just means that you can't agree on that point and you need to move on to something else, right? And the breakthrough could be that there's no resolution on that point and that we need to find a different way around that particular problem. Just to finish that point on ducking conversation, I've often seen this with the typical conversation that people duck as business owners is dealing with difficult staff.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's a disciplinary or a performance related thing, often they'll talk to me about it and I'll say, well, you just need to speak to them. Just get, you know, speak to your HR person, but they're going to tell you, you need to sit down, whether it's formal or informal. If they're, I don't know, turning up late every day or, you know, do whatever they're doing, you need to address it early. Because if you leave it and don't address it, and they do it for a year, and then they do something that's slightly worse or something else, and then you put them up on that, and then suddenly go back, oh, by the way, for the last year, you've been coming in late as well. They're spiraling down instantly because it just feels like you're, and another thing I'm throwing on, and another thing I'm throwing on. And if you'd have had that conversation at the start, A, you would have nipped the poor performance in the bud, but you would have also got it out in the open and known it's an issue. And it's difficult to throw a load of things at, without them feeling like they're being attacked. If you just chuck and this and that, and you do that wrong and this wrong and that wrong, and I don't like the way you dress and blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? Then you're attacking, aren't you, at that point? It's gone past
the... Oh, yeah.
So make space to have the difficult conversations as early as possible. Not go off half-cocked either, but just, you know, if it's an issue, deal with it now so that it doesn't fester and doesn't become a bigger issue down the line. That, I see that so many, more than not, people are scared to have difficult decisions. And I get it because it's difficult and I'm as guilty as anybody, but you've got to do it because otherwise very rarely does something like that just magically fix itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And often the person you're having the conversation with doesn't realise it's an issue and will change quite quickly.
Oh, it is once you get into this is huge, you know. But if you as a chief exec or a senior leader, business owner, look through your business and your role, your contribution is one of strengthening and growing, then you could, every minute of every day, just looking at your business, your customers, the market, through that lens of how can I make it better? How can I strengthen and grow this business? If you look at the world through that lens, you're much more likely to see potential breakthroughs.
Right.
And therefore, you're going to have more conversations, breakthrough conversations, and therefore you're going to become better at it and more skilled at it. And I suspect thus more of a catalyst for your business. If you don't look at the business through the lens of strengthen and grow, you're going to have less, going to tolerate more, you're going to feel more victim, more stuck, going to have less of. You're then going to be clunkier at these conversations. You're going to be stuck, your people are going to be stuck, the business is stuck. And then you can start to believe the limitations that are going on. I can't do this because, all right, I see your point. I can't do this because, all right, okay, fair point. And do you know where I'm going with that? So there is something to look in the mirror, and it starts with yourself always. And I think, because if you go into a conversation genuinely through the lens of strengthening and growing, go, right, Matt, I've got this idea. I really think this could strengthen the business. Now, it does involve you, but just listen to me for a minute. What about blah, blah, blah? That's off to a good start, isn't it?
Yep.
Because then there's a conversation. Now, you might go, there's no way I'm going to now work on a Wednesday and go and work in Tunisia.
Yeah.
But I can go, but Matt, can you see where that went? So what could we do? And you go, well, I'll go to Barcelona on a Tuesday. And you go, right, well, okay. So, but because I'm looking at the business through that lens, we're in the land of possibility.
Yeah.
I think that's a top tip to people. The more you think like that, the more conversations you'll have that you could class as breakthrough, both internally, externally, and you just get better and better. And the more there is a culture then of breakthrough.
100%. Culture is a massive word here, because if you have a culture of being open and honest and, you know, or to the point and direct or whatever it is, then people can pick up the culture and understand that the conversations form part of that. And this is how we talk to each other. I'm not saying we bully and we shout, but we are direct or assertive or whatever it is. People understand, and then they know the rules of the game and they can react within those rules. We were talking about this actually over lunch, weren't we? There's a football club called Dorking Wanderers. Now, many of you won't have heard of these guys. They're in the conference, the top level of non-league football. But 20 years ago, they set up in the lowest level of park football. And then this club, one guy owns it, the manager, and he's taken them from the lowest level of non-league to the top in 20 years, like 18 promotions. It's a really good story. But he has this continual issue that players, he's built as a team, and that team will last them 3 years, and then it has to be fundamentally root and branch, torn apart, put back together, because the players kind of get them promoted. They're good enough to get you promoted, but they're not good enough to get promoted to the next level. So he has this constant churn of employees, basically, and he has this issue of building a team, all working towards this common goal, but then knowing that at that point, probably 50% of the team will be jettisoned and 50% will change into new players, and then they'll get promoted again, and then that last remaining 50% from 2 years ago go, and it's another 50% coming in. And he's very good at articulating to the players that everyone that's ever been a member of the team is a member of the team. Mm-hmm. And we thank everyone for their work. Mm-hmm. But in order to progress, it needs to churn and it needs this constant new faces, old going out the door. And you kind of buy into it knowing that you're going to be with them for 3 years. But if they stay on their plan, you know, some of the youngsters might develop with them, mm-hmm. but the majority of the players come in, do a job for 3 years, and then he'll find them another team and thank him for their time, and you'll always be a Dorking player, but you're not part of the plans. And he's up front and open with it. Yeah. And it means that none of the players, you see them on the exit, you know, there's this amazing YouTube channel that follows this club. On the exit interviews, the players are, yeah, you know, I'm moving on at the end of the season, and I knew that was the case, and I'm really happy, and we've got promoted, and we're all brilliant, and it's on my CV now, and I'm going to go and play somewhere else. And if you had that they're employees, so it is a work environment, but not a professional sports environment, but just a, you know, typical office. If you've got the rules in the game and everyone's on a 2-year contract and then you know that they're going to not be have a role, you can manage and work around it. If you just bring people in and don't give them the plan and they don't know where they're going, then you're having lots of unexpected conversations and the culture could easily dip, couldn't it?
Oh my goodness. I think that's honestly a phenomenal example, because it in so many different ways, But yeah, just go straight to that. The culture could dip. Absolutely, it could. And then you're just reactive. You're reactive to everything. So the performance is poor, you react. Somebody's going to offset, you react. The business context, you react. So you react, you react, react. Versus what this guy's doing here, he's the opposite. He's creating. His vision is, by the sound of it, is to get promoted every year.
Yeah.
And he will literally strengthen and grow. So if you want to play with Dorking United, Wanderers. That's our new club, Dorking United. That would be a good derby match. Dorking Wanderers. Then the deal is that we strengthen and grow, but there may well come a time that your capability is, there's too much of a gap. And you've enjoyed the ride, you've contributed really well, thank you so much, go enjoy your football somewhere else, and you'll always be a Dorking player, I love that. But we're now playing Notts County. Yep. That's different to
the team. Duck United.
Thank you. And actually, we genuinely need a different level of player. But he literally is having breakthrough conversations every week. So that's the spirit of it, absolutely.
Yeah, and that comes from being open and honest.
Yes.
And we've definitely done podcasts on culture and this, but if your team are in the loop and they understand what's going on, then you're starting the conversation sort of halfway down the line. Do you know what I mean? They already know what we're trying to achieve as a business, and therefore if we're having a conversation to say, look, we want you to, I don't know, take this new employee under your wing, hopefully they're half expecting it before you even get in the room. Although, have you ever had this? Do you have, in your corporate life, do you ever send an email to someone saying, can we have a quick catch up at 2 o'clock, and then catastrophize and assume that they're about to fire them? So yeah. I have to do this now, and the team do it back to me because they know I'm fearful that one of them's going to turn up one day and say they're pregnant or something, which I would be delighted by, genuinely, just for HR purposes. So we now say, have you got 5 minutes this afternoon, in brackets, nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
We put that in every one of those meetings just to, although I assume one day there will be something to worry about and it will be missing and, and that'll be that, and then you'll be worried about it. Yeah. Anyway, did you have that a lot of Boots in corporate life, or was it not that sort of world?
Not, genuinely, for most of my time there wasn't that sort of world. Oh no, it wasn't. But what they were very clear, and this came from the owner, was that a minimum of 10% year-on-year growth on profit. Every year, profits had to grow 10%. And that was...
I didn't care how.
Well, yes.
Okay.
The increase by 10%.
That would be... Double, we should have that podcast.
So it was called double-digit growth. And it was clear as day. And to be fair, it happened. But when it started to look as if it wasn't happening, then the company felt different. That was very, very interesting. But it what was brilliant about that, every year the context was set, because we knew we were working for an organisation that was double-digit growth, no matter what. And you set your stall out to deliver that, no matter what.
That's the plan. So, if it comes to plan, yeah.
But I think the example you showed about the football team, Dorking Wanderers, I think that encapsulates the spirit. Because the other thing I wanted to throw into the mix is when you're having your conversation. So definitely look at the world through a lens of strengthen and grow helps enormously. But then it's that sort of balance between... Yes, using logic. I think if you can't logically describe why the breakthrough is necessary, then don't even go there.
Yeah.
You've not worked hard enough. That's what I would say. But then think about emotions. Emotion, like what energy do you want to bring in to the conversation from an emotional point of view? Spiritually, you know, but we are multidimensional. We really are. And you, and so is businesses, so is the world. So when you're in that room, definitely, the one thing you must have is the logic nailed. But don't expect that to get it over the line. You might need to...
Yeah, 100%, right? Often, the reason people put off difficult conversations is because they assume there's going to be a lot of emotion involved. Yeah. And people deal, you know, it's hard if you're upsetting someone in a conversation. You know, you don't mean to.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to have a robust way of challenging someone without attacking or hurting feelings or anything like that. But just to say, understand that's what you're saying. Why do you think if you do that, this will happen? Like, and play back their own words to them is huge, isn't it? That I know you're very good at this, but that whole, okay, so what are you worried about? What's the big scary thing that might happen here? And then let's play that back. So what I'm hearing is that if we do this, you're worried that that's going to happen. Well, what happens if we did this and fixed that? Is that enough to get you to where you need to be? Or do we need to factor in and, you know?
That's huge, because I think, we can call it lots of different words. I think if one word to describe why people resist is they see and feel a risk to themselves. Probably themselves first, then the business.
100%, as like you say.
Yeah, so there is a risk. Now, they might not say that. It might be buried deep. But there is a reason why they are not jumping in going, Matt, Alan, that's the best thing I've ever heard. Sign me up. There is something going on. And a chunk of the time, they're not going to say why. But if you can help them to see you're all part of the same team, and, you know, and get them, just say, look, what is your biggest concern here? What could help me understand? Yeah. Then you're giving that person a real, okay, the trust is there. All right, okay, since you've asked, it's that. Right, now that is on the table. We're all looking at something called that. We can do something about that.
Yeah.
You can chop it up. You can go, bloody hell, didn't realise that's a good point. Bend the idea.
Yeah.
Or actually, no, come on. Is that it? Yeah, that is it. Right. That's what. So if I remove that, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, we don't know how we're going to remove that.
Yeah.
But in this magic world, exactly, if we remove that from being an issue, does that get us where we need to go? Or is that going to just replace that with this, and this is the big issue?
Yeah.
You know, that we don't know, and we're stretching the medium of audio by using random words nowadays. But you get the point, yeah, right? Yeah. That is definitely it. And often the issue that you think you're talking about is not the issue.
Or very often. But I can come back to my previous point. That's why you're getting crystal clear on why the breakthrough is important in the first place. Because if you then, if you get somebody who's not convinced because of a risk, and you're not 100% or in the high 90s, then the objection comes out. More often than not, you probably are just going to agree with the objection, especially if it's a really strong one.
Yeah.
And the possibility the breakthrough never happens. So you job number one, the work, the vast majority of the energy needs to be on yourself. You're clear, really clear, because you've got a mindset of strength and grow that this is the next best thing. You bounce into that and you have your conversation. But you must have logic nailed, then get ready to sit and talk about this for an hour, that for a couple of hours, and eventually get whatever is the risk on the table. And we can both look at the risk and move it away.
Yeah. Do you know how not to do this? This just came to me. I haven't told you this story yet, but at a place I used to work, where the mindset was not so much strengthen and grow, so more as kind of beat down and destroy, I guess.
Like a Dalek.
Yeah. I once got, as a partner, put into my diary one day that everyone in the business could see, meeting to deal with anti-money laundering non-compliance or something like that. Like, basically, Matt's getting told off here. Big light, yeah, big neon lights. And I remember thinking, hey, this was two other partners who put this in. Good of them to come and have a quick word. Two, thanks for doing it publicly. And three, really, like, racking my brains as to what on earth are they going to throw up at me here? Because as far as I'm concerned, there's no anti-money laundering compliance. And there wasn't. And the other partners were coming to me and saying, oh, what's going on? And I was like, literally no idea. Anyway, so I went to the meeting room at the appointed time to this like kangaroo court that had been set up. And genuinely, the first thing they did, they slapped this bit of paper, didn't even say hello, slapped this bit of paper down on the table in front of me. And it was a photocopy of someone's driving license, but it had been blacked out, basically. It was like a really poor copy of a driving. You could see it was just about a square like a driving license. But that was it. And then my signature saying, I confirm this is a true likeness, which is what we've got right. And they're like, what's this? You can't, you know, how have you signed this like that? You know, it's shocking. And I said, I didn't. I signed a colour one. And then when it was scanned and uploaded to the digital system, they've obviously put the settings on the photocopier wrong and done a, you know, oh, okay. And they got up and left. And I sat there thinking, I came out and, you know, many of my team now who used to work there were saying, well, that was a quick meeting. I was like, well, yeah, because they're flipping idiots, you know. Yeah. And I was thinking, well, I still to the day don't know the point, because they're like, you know, not particularly nice humans in my opinion, but they're intelligent humans. Mm-hmm. How did they get to that was A, what I would have done in the first place, and B, that was the way to deal with it. But I'm constantly amazed that there are people that is the way they would handle that sort of thing. It's baffling. So anyway, that's on the side.
But it's really good to know, isn't it? How not to do something.
How not to do it, yeah. Uh-huh. It's mind-boggling. Anyway, right, we're probably over 30 minutes now just from my off on a tangent story, but I could write a book on that thing, I think. Anyway, right, so we're over an hour. I feel like we've had a positive conversation conversations. Uh-huh. We know now not to do it. We talked about how to get clarity on what you want out of it before you have it, not getting caught in the emotions of it, understanding what the real win is, I guess, and challenging where we need to. Have we missed anything else?
The only thing is just the general context of, you could say leadership, and then certainly CEOship, business ownership, through the lens of, my number one contribution is to strengthen and grow this organization, this business. Thus, you're going to have you're going to see more and more breakthrough opportunities. So you're going to have more of these conversations, you're going to become better at it, and your company's going to break through more and more.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, that culture of always moving forward.
Yeah.
And yeah, uh-huh. Being open and honest.
And the culture. Yeah. That's thank you. That culture word is huge for this. If you've got a breakthrough culture organization,
then you're winning.
Yeah. 100%. Not getting hung up on the where did you sign the driving license type organization.
Oh, man. Anyway, bless them. Right. So we're at 32 minutes. We're going to call it a day now. As ever, if you liked what you've heard, give us a shout out on social. Give us a like, subscribe, tell a friend about us. That always helps. But we will be back next week with more podcast gold. And that's all for me. And it's all for my friend, Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.